I want to say thank you. Just thank you so much for allowing my family and I to be here with you all today. I know you guys are busy, you got a lot of things going on, so thank you for allowing us to fit in, and honestly, thank you so much for that. I'm so thankful for your pastor allowing us to be here. And then, honestly, thank you for supporting my family and I for, how long has it been now? Almost more than four years now. And honestly, thank you. Just truly supporting our ministry, supporting as my family and I, we were here on deputation, and then when we transitioned to the field, and then being on the field. So honestly, thank you. I want to say your investment in the ministry, your investment in my family, your investment in the people of Uganda has been tremendous, and truly, thank you. God has done such an amazing work. He really has. So, real quick, for those who have not met us before, my name is Alex, this is my wife, Cassandra, and then we have four girls. Yes, I said four girls. Please pray for me. I have Alexis, Aaliyah, Alina, and Alicia. Yes, I know, I named them, I know, that's my fault, I admit it. But we have been now in the country of Uganda for over 3 years now. And God has blessed, honestly, God has blessed in such an amazing way. Just a quick testimony. So my wife and I, we both grew up on the Navajo Reservation. A missionary came to my house, knocked on my door, and invited me to church. And so I'm a product of missions. I'm a product of the bus ministry. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that there are people willing to leave their comfort zone to get the gospel to people who need it. Because that's what we should do as Christians. We should be willing to get out of our comfort zone, even if it's not political, even if it's not, politically accurate, if it's not popular. A Christian should be willing to obey God. And so I'm thankful, truly, I'm thankful that a missionary came to my house, knocked on my door, and I truly believe it changed the trajectory of my life. I do believe that. Accepting Christ, following God, gives you purpose. And I can honestly, truly say, if I wasn't saved, if I wasn't following God, I would have no purpose. And I'm thankful that God loved me enough that he sent his son to die on the cross for me, truly. And so I'm thankful, truly. One preacher said it this way, and I feel like my family and I have adopted this saying, we don't have to be missionaries, we get to be missionaries. It truly is a privilege to serve the Lord. So we have been in Uganda now. When we first got there, there was a pesky little issue. COVID, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, right? And so the country was locked down. Nobody could get in and out. And then thankfully, in the month of October, we were able, they opened up the country for a month and a half, really. And thankfully, during that time, we were able to get into the country. And right then, we just kind of hit the ground running. We worked with some veteran missionaries for a little bit. And then the second lockdown of COVID happened. And so we weren't able to do much, honestly. We weren't able to do a whole lot. And then I started to go crazy. I started to preach at my kids. I was preaching at the trees. I was preaching at anything. And as a Baptist preacher, I wanted to preach at something. And then one of the young men I led to the Lord, his name is Joachim, he asked me, he said, Pastor Alex, can you please come with me, please? I want you to come and tell my family about Jesus. I want them to hear about Jesus. And so it was about a two-hour hike up in the mountains. And it was awesome. I enjoyed it. I went up there, and we went there every day. And I was able to lead his mother to the Lord, his brother, his cousin. And then before you knew it, another one got saved, and then another one got saved, and then another one got saved. And then we had a group of 10 people that were saved. And thankfully, after the lockdown lifted, because we weren't allowed to meet and have services, after the lockdown went off, they came to me, this small group of believers. They said, we want our own services. We want to sing. We want preaching that will teach us the word of God, which was so amazing. And so we met in wherever we could. We met underneath a tree. We actually sat in grass. Any place we could find. And then thankfully, the building that we're in now, we were able to meet there for about 50,000 shillings a month, which is about $17. And then we prayed, and then the Lord reduced our price down to 20,000, about 11 bucks. And then we prayed again, and the Lord blessed, and now we pay $0. And so thankfully, God has just blessed in a tremendous way. And then it's just been amazing, just seeing this group grow, seeing more and more people get saved. And then in this year, January of this year, we had our charting service for Kalembe Independent Baptist Church. We had 16 founding members, all that have been saved, all that have been baptized, all that have really understood the biblical constitution, their bylaws, and they've agreed to it, and they identify as being independent Baptist. And so we had 16 founding members. Oh, it was amazing. Truly, it was amazing to see people called out from this world and assembling together to serve the Lord. Oh, it was amazing. And it's so exciting what God is doing. Truly, it's so exciting. The name Kalembe Independent Baptist Church, that was the first thing we voted on. I asked them, what do you want to call ourselves? And they said, well, we want to be known as the Independent Baptist Church. We want to be known as that. And then I had a couple names. I had some snazzy sounding names, but they didn't vote for it. They really wanted to be known because they were in the village of Kalembe, and they wanted people to know that they were Independent Baptist. And they're so proud of that. Truly, they're so proud of that. And it is a blessing, truly. It is a blessing to be there in Uganda. I would ask you, continue to pray for my family and I as we are here on our furlough time. Truly, I want to be in Uganda. I want to be there. I know God has us here for the time being. I know God has us here with our family. I am looking forward to Thanksgiving. We have not had turkey in 3 years, so I am really excited about that. And cranberry sauce. And so I'm really excited about that. But truly, we do miss our people in Uganda. And I'd ask you, pray for us. Pray for our church there in Uganda. We have a man, Brother Expedito. He is leading the services while I'm gone. And he's doing a phenomenal job. He really is. Just real quick with me this morning. Let's go to the third book of John. Let's get into this really quick. The third book of John. And if you're able this morning, we'll stand for the reading of God's word, just the third book of John. All right. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I think it glorifies God when we obey God and just do what we're supposed to do. Amen? Amen? I know it's Sunday school, but you can amen, all right? All right? Verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if they bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. I think many people understand. Missionaries, the reality is that we can't work normal jobs. I can't go 9 to 5. And so I'm truly thankful when the church, when there's churches, supporting churches, they understand that, and they're willing to pray and love and support my family and I. Because they understand, we don't live in normal circumstances. And so I'm thankful for the individual church member who understands that. Look at the next part. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I love the way the Bible phrases that, fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church by Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, pranting against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church. I'm so thankful that they have supported my family and I, that they've been behind us, that they've been partnering with us. I pray, God, that you please, God, give us strength, give us wisdom, Lord, and help us to see the need that there's people all around this world, even here in this community, Lord, that need the gospel. They need to know about your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that we would just be a people that are compassionate, that are loving, even to people around us, God. Help us not to forget, Lord, that you've called us to be people who love others. I pray, God, that you please be with us now. Bless this time. Be with the remaining of all today. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. In Uganda, I'll confess to you, okay? I have a rather funny habit. I like to wave at people everywhere I go. I just like to wave at people because it's a nice thing to do, to greet people, to wave at people. And so one day I'm driving up the road, going to Kalembe, going up the mountain, and I'm driving in my vehicle and I see this elderly man, Mose Aloysius. His name is Aloysius. And I waved at him, 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, the word Mose means like a respectable person in the community. Now, at the time, Aloysius, this 67-year-old man, you couldn't call him a Mose because he wasn't respectable at the time. Because it's 10 o'clock in the morning and he was drunk, staggering around 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm driving my vehicle and I see him and I wave at him. And I waved at him. I said, hello. He looked at me funny. He looked at me puzzled. And I just kept going. And then I got to where I was going. I was preaching to a group of young men. And then thankfully, honestly, it was amazing. Mose Aloysius, he came and followed me. He tracked me down and he followed me. And so while I was preaching to these young men, he came, walked and followed me. And he interrupted me. And he said, Mzungu, why are you waving at me? The word Mzungu, it means white person. It's okay, you can laugh. It's all right. I laugh about it all the time too. And he said, why are you waving at me? And I said, let me deal with these young men first, and then I'll talk to you. So I get done preaching. I go over to Mose Aloysius, or Aloysius. I sit down with him, and I tell him who I am. I tell him, my name's Alex. I'm a missionary. I'm here to give people the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell people the good news. And so I sat with him, and he said, okay, save me. I want to be saved. Save me. I said, let's do this then. You come to church on Sunday, but you have to make me a promise. You can't drink at all. You come faithfully. You come, and then we'll talk on Sunday. And honestly, I didn't believe him. I didn't think he was going to come, but he came. He came Sunday morning. In fact, he was early, and he wore a nice suit. I didn't even wear a suit that day. I was so thankful. And he came faithfully for 2 months. 2 months. And then after 2 months, he came to me, and he said, Pastor Alex, I understand now. I want to be saved. Now, it was so amazing because I got to sit down with this man, this 67-year-old man, who for the first time in his life, hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ, hearing how God provides love, provides hope, provides grace, for the first time hearing that God loves him so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for him. Truly, it was amazing. And can I tell you, as a missionary, somebody who has taken my wife, the fact that my wife follows me all the way to Africa is amazing. Truly, it's amazing. And the fact that she's with me, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for my wife. But for me, taking my wife and my kids and moving really across the world to go to a place that let's be honest, sometimes they don't want me there. Let's be honest, sometimes they don't really care if I'm there. And then there's been times there's been struggles. There's been times there's been heartache. I'll be honest, I'll confess, last year I was falsely accused of murder. It was insane. And then there was lies. And then one I enjoy so much. There were some people, they accused me of being a spy. Can you believe that? I guess I look very spyish, right? And so people ask me, why? Truly, they ask me this, why? Why would you take your wife? Why would you take your children? Why would you go across the world? Why would you put all this effort, all this time, all this money, all this heartache, all this pain, all the tears? Why? And then really, I think about Mosiah Eliphaz. I think about this man. Really, when you think about it, he had no hope. He had no truth. And the fact and the reality is, I do. I know Jesus Christ. I know that hope. I know that love. And then God has given me that responsibility to go and to give it to him. And then when you see the receive it, oh, it's amazing. Truly, it's amazing. Can I say this? I have a burden. I do. I have a burden for the people of Uganda. But above that, I have a calling to the people of Uganda. I know where my place is. Truly, I know where my place is. I know where God wants me to be. And so it's my desire. Really, it's in my bones. Can I say it that way? I want so badly to see the African people, to see the people of Uganda accept Jesus Christ. Because I know, I am fully convinced if they accept Christ, it will change their life. Look here in this story. Look here in this. Here we have two men. Very simple. We have two men here. We have Gaius and then we have Diotrephes. But look at this story. So John is writing. John is writing to the church, testifying, really praising this man, Gaius. Because look what he does. Beloved, verse 5, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if they bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Here was this man, Gaius. He's in the church. Now, he's not called to be a missionary. He's not called to go out and minister. He's called to be faithful in his local church. And that's a good thing. You can amen, all right? It's okay. Supporting the pastor, supporting your church. That's a good thing. That's a biblical thing. And so here he was in his church, faithfully serving. And then you had the ministers of God. You had the missionaries, the preachers. They would come through. And they needed help. I will openly admit this. I am not a self-made man by any means. I'm not. Because I'm fully aware I need support. I need other faithful Christians who are willing to help my family and I. I'm thankful for the investment of churches. I'm thankful for the investment of people who've gone behind us. But can I say this? Okay. I'm thankful for that individual church member. Yes, I'm thankful for the church as a whole, supporting my family and I. But I'm really thankful for that one church member who prays for my family. Truly. And who recognizes us and remembers us and prays for us. Can I tell you, as a missionary, that means a lot. It truly does. Because there's times, I'll be honest, there's times when you're out there in the jungle and you feel alone and you're wondering, does anybody care about us? And then, but there's that one faithful church member who's praying for you. Can I be honest? As a missionary, oh, that's amazing. To know that we have a partner in this, that we have someone who's willing to hold the line for us. And so here you had Gaius. He sees the ministers of God. They come to the church. They're needing help. They're needing support. They're needing prayer. They're needing love. And then look what it says here. Look what it says. I love the way the Bible puts it. Bring forward on their journey. He sees what's going on. Okay, here's the minister. He has the truth, and he's trying to get it to people who need it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to help bring him forward on his journey. I'm going to help him get to where he's going, because where he's going is important. What he's doing is important. And I can't go, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to help him. Look at this next part. We therefore ought to receive such. This is what we should do. What Gaius is doing, this is what you should be doing. That's a biblical principle. Look what he says. That we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Really, the idea of a partnership. The idea of fellow helpers. Because here is Gaius, this man. He sees the minister. He sees the missionary. He sees the preacher. They have a truth. They have a calling. They have a burden. So Gaius says, my responsibility is to be a fellow helper. My responsibility is to help this man get to where he's supposed to go. Why? Well, it's just something we do. Come on, let's be honest this morning. I know it's Sunday school, okay? All right? I think sometimes we can go through the motions. We can play the part sometimes, right? Oh, great, another missionary in. Okay, and then we forget about them. Oh, great, another conference, and then we move on. Like, I understand. Let's be honest, I completely understand. Okay, I'll admit to you. This is a true story. This really did happen. Honestly, this really did happen. We were on deputation, my wife and I. We're on deputation. We're on deputation. And we were staying with the family for a missions conference. For a missions conference. And then it was Saturday morning. They were having a Q&A at the church. And they needed all the missionaries to be there early morning. And so my wife and the kids, they stayed at the place we were at. And then I jumped in the truck with the host that we were staying with. And it was awkward. It was quiet. You could tell there was tension in that vehicle. And I'm in the passenger seat. We're driving. He's taking me to the missions conference. And it's quiet. And then he starts to grumble. And I'm quiet, not saying a thing. And he said this. This is what he said. Truly, this is what he said. I work 9 to 5 every day. Why do I have to support these missionaries? And then he said, truly, this is what he said. He said, I have to pay taxes. I have to pay for my children's school. I got medical bills. Why should I give my hard-earned money to these people? Mind you, I'm a missionary in his car. Yeah, these missionaries, right? They're terrible, right? Can I be honest? I get it. You get so busy. You get so focused on, and don't get me wrong, none of those things are bad. God tells us to work. God tells us to provide for our families. I'm not saying any of those things are bad. But there's priorities. There's a place for everything. God, and again, think about it like this. There's people all around this world. You go to work 9 to 5. You go in day and night. But there's still people that are going to die and go to hell if they don't know about Jesus Christ. That's the reality. I understand his point of view. I get it. I was there. I was in Bible college. I was a married student with 2 kids. Why? And I understand when missions came, when all of that came, and you're trying to figure it all out. I get it. I totally understand. Can I be honest with you this morning? Okay, you already support me, so I'll be honest with you this morning, all right? I hate going to some churches sometimes because I don't want to be a bother to them. I really don't want to bug these people today because they got their own thing going on, and I don't want to inconvenience them because it feels like some people don't have time for missions. And can I tell you, that's my life. That's who we are. And the thing is, I have such a desire. I truly do. I want to get the gospel to people in Africa. So much so that I'm willing to take my children there, take my wife there, to move there. I have such a desire to see people saved. Can I tell you this? It's difficult sometimes. When I go into villages, truly, when I go into villages and you hear the laughter, you hear people laughing at me, you hear people saying things about me, and it's awkward. But I go in there because I have a hope. I have a desire to see people saved. There's a young man, Joshua, 18-year-old boy. The first day I met him, he was making chapatis, like tortillas. And he was sitting there laughing at me while I was preaching to a group of people. And I could hear the comments, and he's laughing at me. And then while I was preaching, I noticed something from the corner of my eye. He stopped what he was doing. He walked over to where I was, and he sat down. And he listened intently. And then I led that boy to the Lord. And now, get this. He leads the singing in our church. That's my desire. Truly, that's what God has called me to. And so when I say I appreciate, I truly mean this. When there's that individual church member, they catch that vision. They catch that understanding. They say, look what he's doing. I want to help him get to where he's going. Look at this next part, though. Look at this. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Here was a proud man. So prideful. A missionary, a minister would come. Why should I help you? How is what you're doing going to benefit me? Think about that for a second. That's an ungodly thinking. How do we even know that you're really going to where you're going? How do we even know that what you're doing is really the right thing? And then look what else he says. Look what else is going on with this man. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds. Look at this man, Diotrephes, which he doeth, pranting against us with malicious words. Wow, talking bad about the missionaries, talking bad about the ministers of God. Then look at this next part. And not content therewith. He's not happy. He's not content with what he has. Wow. And neither do himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Here you have this man Diotrephes. Why should I help them? This is funny, but this is truly what I've heard sometimes. Moochinaries. I've heard that term before. And so here you have Diotrephes. Why should I help? Why should I get involved? I got my own life. I got my own things. I got my own ministries. I got my own family. What are they doing that's going to benefit me? How can I? Why? Why should I help them? Why should I give to them? Why should I care about them? I don't know the people in Uganda. I don't know where these people are on the boards. I don't know them. So why should I care? Wow. And then John says something so good. Look at this in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. I thought about that word, evil. I thought about this word, evil. That word evil, if you look at this, the Bible doesn't say, follow not that which is bad. That's not what he's saying. Evil. Okay. So you have a minister, you have a missionary who's trying to get the gospel to people who need it. And then here is Diotrephes. Really, in a way, he's standing between the missionary and the people who need it. He's hindering the gospel. Think about it like that. He's not encouraging the missionary. He's not praying for the missionary. He's not being a fellow helper to the missionary. Really, what he's doing, he's stopping. He's hindering the gospel. There has been times, truly, when I go up to Uganda and I go to the villages, and people, they'll say to me, this is what they'll say to me sometimes, "Pastor Alex, I wish you came sooner. I wish you would have come sooner. Because my brother, my cousin, my mom, my dad, they died not knowing Jesus Christ. I wish you would have got here sooner." And I'm not blaming anybody, please understand. But when a missionary has such a burden, has such a calling, has such a desire to get to people who need the gospel, and you hinder him, look what the Bible says. "Follow not that which is evil." The Bible makes it very clear. It's evil. "But follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Wow. This morning, just my plug, if you want to say, my plug for missions. I want to say thank you. Thank you to the individual church member, truly, that's behind our ministry. Thank you as a church, yes, as a whole, thank you. I'm so thankful for you all, for supporting my family and I for all these years. And I want to say thank you, truly, for that one church member, or many church members, or all of you, really, that read the prayer letters and that pray for your missionaries. As a missionary, I can say thank you. That means a lot. Because I know, I've met a lot of these missionaries on this board, I have. And I know them. And they have such a desire to get the gospel to their field. And when there's that member, that church member, who's right there with them, helping them, it means a lot. This morning, I just want to challenge you. I just want to challenge you. I know we can get so busy. We're going to get, and it's okay. Busyness isn't necessarily bad. But let's not forget the people that need the gospel. Let's not forget the people here, your family, your friends, the people around you that need the gospel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you.